Hi, I'm Sophie, and this is Age Well with Dr. Sophie Schotter, a space where, together with my producer, Fee, I talk to good friends and trusted experts on how they age well, whether it's their latest supplement stack, what's on their bathroom shelf, or a new biohacking device that really seems to work. Because for me, aging well is all about looking and feeling like the best possible version of ourselves, both inside as well as out. Remember, you can also find even more ideas and expert tips on my social channels at Dr. Sophie Schotter. I'd love you to come and join me over there too. So this is my show. Welcome along. As always, thank you so much for listening. And this week, Fee and I are in conversation with Caroline Barnes.
Caroline, your client list is about as A-list as they come, from Kylie Minogue, who I know you went on tour with, through to Naomi Campbell, Emma Watson, David Beckham. The list goes on and on. Plus, of course, you've worked with some of the world's leading photographers, glossy magazines and beauty brands. You also have a brilliant and hugely successful YouTube channel, nearly 100,000 followers on socials, and an incredible new line of makeup brushes, which I really want to get into. Mm-hmm. But first, I want to take you back to all those years ago as a graduate of the London College of Fashion. I know you studied all aspects of makeup artistry, from wigs and prosthetics to cosmetology. But what do you recall of those earliest makeup jobs? Were you nervous? Any lessons learned? Any tips for new makeup artists? And how on earth did you go about building a kit?
Okay, so yes, of course, really nervous, because when you're at college, you are practicing on each other and it's in a kind of nice, safe space. But then you go out into the world and you're presented with this face that you have to do quite quickly, maybe not in a contemporary way. Maybe it was a period 1960s music video, or maybe it was a young lad that you really fancied but had spots all over his face. It was a whole different thing. And that's the thing, when you start any job, it's like you really just want to do your job and eliminate the nerves so that you can do it in the best possible way. And even now, you know, obviously you want to prove yourself, you still get a little bit nervous, but nerves are good because they make sure that you are performing on all levels. But I think my biggest tip and advice is that I was doing a music video and I was assisting a wonderful makeup artist called Katia Thomas. And I had never made up an actual model before. So I had worked in film, and I'd worked with actresses and I'd worked with extras. But for me, a model was like a whole new world. And in strutted these leggy, gorgeous Amazonian women and sat down. And my biggest mistake was I really tried to be their friend rather than get on and do the makeup. And she was getting irritated because I was taking so long. And I remember putting this greasy eyeliner on her eye just because it would smudge, and you know, the products aren't as developed as they are now. We're talking 30 years ago. And then I tried to get this eyelash on with glue, and of course it wouldn't stick because it was on a greasy base, like really basic things. And I was just trying to talk to her about her boyfriend and what she's having for dinner. And I actually ended up fainting because we were in a really small room that was very hot. They were all smoking back in those days and they had big mobile phones. And it was the most embarrassing thing. And I think that was like a moment where I was actually sent home. I think you need to go home and start again. No one wanted me near them. But it just shows that actually, when you go and do something that you've learned and you know how to do it, just go and do that. Friendship and kind of getting along with someone will come later. Just do what you're meant to do. And I think that's a really good piece of advice, because we are in a very friendly industry where we instantly make bonds. But I just think it's nice to remember why you're there, what you're getting paid for, and do that job, and then do the next part later, because then you won't end up like a fool like I did. I think I swiped the black mascara wand over her brand new Hermes shirt as well, which didn't go, which is white. That's a disaster. But there you are, baptism of fire.
Hey, it's Fee here. You're still here all these years later. So that says something. And actually, just to pick up on what Sophie said, how did you go about building a kit? Because that to me seems like a huge endeavour.
Well, at that time, it was very difficult money-wise, because I didn't have much money and obviously I needed so much. But MAC Cosmetics at that time, well, I suppose that was a little bit later, actually. So initially it would have been me just cobbling things together. M&S used to do a great sort of like Christmas palette with three blushes and three sort of creamy lipsticks that began to smell after about a year. But I would be a sort of avid collector of getting things from magazines. Remember when magazines used to put like a little product on the front of the magazines and collect that? I was always very beady-eyed on what was coming out and what I should get. But then as I started in television, first of all, and started assisting this brilliant makeup artist, they would then get budgets. So every time they start a show, they would get like a couple of grand for the budget, depending on how long they were filming for, depending on how many artists you have. And then you break it down and get products. So then I would collect them afterwards, the ones that weren't used, and decant them and put them in my own bottles, etc. But of course, then MAC Cosmetics started, I'm trying to think when they did start, it was 1998, but don't correct me on that. I do need to find that out, to get the exact date. And then they were so supportive of makeup artists in all different genres. So whether you worked in the theatre or whether you were doing a TV show or a film, music video, fashion, they were very supportive and they helped so many people get their kits together and really supported the kind of young creatives when they didn't have the money. Because now, obviously, you get spoilt with products because you want to have that 360 conversation with journalists. So you have to try the things in order to be able to recommend them.
Mm. Do you have any really good, stood the test of time makeup tricks that seem to work for nearly everyone? So I recall a makeup artist once told me to put a few eye drops in my eyes before doing my makeup, as it'll make them sparkle. And can you also settle a bet? I know this is two questions in one. And explain to my older teenage daughter why applying her daytime makeup in unnatural light, curtains closed, I'm so triggered, is never a good idea. Or at least give her some mirror tips if it is actually nighttime.
Going back to the first question, yes, she's right about the eye drops, but I wouldn't encourage that every day. Eye drops for special occasions only, just because it restricts the blood vessels. And if you're dilating and restricting the blood vessels, you can get a weakness, and then you end up with eyes that are bloodshot a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Over a period of time. Just throwing that in there. I think, and I'm sure Sophie would agree with this, that a clear skin is the best approach to making the best out of yourself and to looking as youthful and as good as that you can. Kind of eliminating the darkness around your eyes or eliminating pigmentation, evening out skin tone. If you've done that, and obviously I suffered from acne for many years, so skin is my thing. If you can do that, I think then you're onto a winner. Don't just go straight for the red lipstick, because putting a red lipstick on will actually bring out the red undertones in your skin. So I just think focusing on great key products that make your skin look great is the best way forward. As a one tip, this, I've got thousands of tips, but that's a really good like standout one. If you get that right, you're onto a good thing. In terms of your daughter, Fiona, obviously it's a generational thing, and obviously she will be taking pictures of herself. And if you're taking pictures of yourself and using a filter and using that light, then the makeup will look fabulous. And trust me, as you've seen, you need to wear a truckload of makeup to make it look as gorgeous as those young girls do on social media, but it doesn't work in daylight. You're right, and it is too heavy, and it's not our aesthetic. We love everything to look polished and invisible and super gorgeous and undetectable. I guess they will get there in time, but it's tribal, isn't it? And when you're young, you want to look like everyone else. So you know what? I think we all just have to let our kids, I've got three boys, so I'm not in this situation, make those mistakes and just go with it. And then they'll laugh about it later.
With the photographs. Thank you.
Styles have changed so much over the years, and young people seem to wear more makeup now than I think we did at their age. And perhaps this is another trend or a reflection of social media pressure or all of that product choice, because I think it's almost overwhelming sometimes. But do you have a signature style beyond the no makeup, which you do so beautifully, or philosophy or any kind of golden rules that you use for yourself or your clients?
Well, not really, because it's up to the individual, and every face inspires me. And I'm probably, again, like you, Sophie. I analyse people's faces. As you talk to me when I come and see you for my cheeky little bit of Botox, you are looking at my face as I'm talking to you. As I'm sitting down with someone and chatting to them about their kids or their dogs or whatever, I'm analysing their face to go, right, that needs to go a bit higher, that needs to be a bit lower, I can do a little bit this. Your face would read makeup very quickly. Like, you would look quite glamorous quite quickly, or actually you can carry a lot of makeup, or if I did it like this, I might make you just look a little bit older, but that would be a bit fresher. Do you know what I mean? It's all those things playing around in my head. I love faces. So I have to take that into consideration. And it's about a personal style. I get the person as well as the face. I'll be like, right, you are not going to like too much makeup. I just know you're not, because I can just see the way you are, the way you dress, your personality. And then for work, it all depends. Like I was talking about your daughter and the lighting situation, I would change and adapt the makeup that I'm applying depending on the environment that I'm in. So if we're shooting on big HMI lights in a big studio, it needs to be pretty heavy. You won't see any detail if it's too soft. Whereas if I was doing a red carpet, for instance, then it needs to be super flawless because those Getty pictures see every single detail. So it has to be polished and perfected and polished and perfected. So it's not a one answer because there are so many things. And I think this is what brings the kind of like addiction to having your makeup done by a professional. And because I analyse faces and I'm not selling product, it's a very different approach to having your makeup done at Space NK, for instance, because I'm not selling product. I'm looking at your face and I'm taking all those bits of ingredients in and I'm trying to come out with the right product for you.
Mm. So interesting. And we are going to talk all things makeup, but as you say, your ethos is rooted in ensuring that any makeup goes on healthy, glowing, gorgeous skin. So is there any skincare that you carry in your kit? And you've mentioned that you suffered with really bad acne during your teenage years. How is your skin now? How do you keep it looking so lovely? What's your routine, including any products and treatments and tweakments? And you've mentioned your wrinkle relaxes with Sophie.
Yes.
But let's talk skincare and treatments and tweakments.
So in terms of skincare, to keep it relatable, I suppose it's all about using daily exfoliants or at least exfoliants at least three times a week. Because if the surface of your skin is smooth, then it reflects the light. So if you think of a piece of glass, the sunlight hits it, it bounces back. If you've got a bit of carpet and the sunlight hits it, it just scatters and it doesn't do anything. So I try and tell people that if your skin is dry and it's tight and it's slightly textured, you're not going to get that beautiful bounce back. So the exfoliation is really key in that. And I think people think, oh, I just scrub my face, job done. I don't think, and people are busy. There's a lot to think about. But the AHAs and the BHAs and the PHAs are really brilliant and they don't cause sensitivity. I love brands like SkinCeuticals. I love brands like Medicate. But there are also some really affordable brands. Sally Hughes, the journalist for The Guardian, has worked with Revolution and she has created her own range with that. There's, again, very gentle actives. So combining the exfoliation with the vitamin C to fight against free radicals for long-term protection gives that lovely brightness, and retinol at night. Caroline Hirons has a new retinol which I've really enjoyed using, and there's two different levels of that. Start with the first one and build up. People get a lot of sensitivity to retinol and vitamin C, so just go careful, go easy. That would be my sort of, in the time that we have, and I'm sure Sophie can go into much more depth than I can. I think you can really, really benefit from doing that. And there's no point spending £50 on a beautiful Chanel, for instance, foundation if your skin's not great. You've got to get back down to basics. Get the skin looking right first, and then the makeup will sit beautifully on it, even if it's something from e.l.f., which is also a great brand, but it doesn't have to be expensive. In my kit, I wouldn't use anything active because I have no idea how that's going to affect that person's skin, and I don't have the time for irritation. I just need the skin to look really great. So there's a facialist called Karen Bartoff who I met last year, and she's got a super serum which is full of squalane basically and glycerin, all yummy gorgeous things that just really hydrate the skin, and I love to use that before makeup. The more hydration I can get onto those few top layers of the skin, the better. And then the makeup sits really well because I just love that kind of flawless finish. And especially in these seasonal months, everyone's skin is dry. So Sophie's great at putting all these wonderful injectables in, which I need to come in and have done. Yes, please, Sophie. And you can do that internally, but also just for those top layers, for that kind of quick boost, that's absolutely great. Yeah. So for work, I would just be very gentle and focus on barrier protection and hydration. And then at home, personally, and what I would advise to my clients who come for help, then it would be things like just gentle actives like that.
Yeah, thanks.
We'd love to get into your makeup kit, Caroline, but also your personal makeup bag. Can we start with things like primers, BB or CC creams? What products do you return to again and again? And can you also explain the functionality of these to any listeners who aren't sure what they do?
Okay, so primers are great when you need to fix things. So primers are great if you need to add a little bit more glow to your skin or if you want your makeup to hold on a little bit longer. So there's an Urban Decay primer that you can spritz on your skin, All Nighter it's called, and that just comes in a spritz. You can apply that to your skin before you do your makeup. You can apply it to an eyeshadow brush to melt down your eyeshadow, to put it over your lid, and then you can use it as a final set. That's one kind of primer. You can also use primers to smooth the texture of your skin. Now, the one I have used for years, well, probably a couple of years, because I haven't always had lines around my lips. You know how I talk about the lines around my lips. I hate them. This is Miracle Blur by Trini London. It's a very solid sort of cream formula that just melts very lightly. It's quite firm. And I put it around my lips and around my nose where I've got much more texture, pores, etc. And then I put a little bit of makeup over the top and use a flat powder and boom, my skin looks amazing and the lipstick looks lovely. That is a wonderful thing to have because I'm 51. Obviously, I still want to enjoy using makeup. My lips aren't my forte, should I say. So I've been able to use these products to make them look and feel great and I feel confident wearing it. So that's a brilliant primer if you're in the same situation as me. Hourglass do lovely primers, but don't get obsessed with that. Just if you've, I would only really use a primer like the Urban Decay one if you just find that your makeup does not last. So you go to work and you look in the mirror and you go for your first wee stop and you're like, oh, for God's sake, I look like the same as I did when I woke up. That's great. Get something that's going to lock it in because sometimes if you've got a combination or oily skin, it just dilutes the makeup and it just doesn't hold. And some skins, and I don't know why, maybe Sophie, you'll be able to share with us, some skins you can put the touch of foundation on, a little bit of concealer, and it stays fast all day, usually a drier skin. But then a combination oilier skin, it just doesn't last. It sort of dilutes. Is that right, Sophie? Is that diluting?
Exactly, yeah. It's making your foundation essentially oilier.
Yes.
And it's just going to slide off the face potentially, yeah. And some people get that in some areas of the face it stays really well and in others it slips and slides around.
Yes. Now, blotting papers are also great for that. And there's a lovely skincare brand called Tatcha. I love their moisturisers. They are so wonderful. For my skin, just great. Dry skin. Now, they have blotting papers, which I use at work if I'm touching people up under the lights, removing any kind of like dewiness from their skin because it's not overloading it with makeup. So when they come to have lunch, they don't look in the mirror and go, oh my God, I got so much makeup on. It's just nicely mattified. So blotting papers are really good for that, I must say. What you can find is in this marketing spin of a world that we live in when they're trying to encourage you to put 8 different products on your skin before you even go to your foundation. That's the problem that women have. And then they put their foundation on. And again, like Sophie said about the oily skin, it's sliding off because there's just too much on the skin. So you really do have to allow your skincare to settle in first, but don't overdo it. Don't add a glowy primer if you've already put a lovely hydrating moisturiser on and then your SPF. There's a really, I was working with a lovely Davina McCall the other day. She's worked for Garnier for decades. So this is my favourite product and it's a vitamin C daily UV glow, UVA, UVB 50 plus. And it's great. It's got that little tint in. I've never used any Garnier products, I have to say. It's got a little tint in which kind of gives you that 5 denier finish to your skin. So it just has that kind of lovely evened out glow, but it's got a little bit of glow in it and it's a factor 50, but it doesn't feel heavy or mask-like on the skin at all. It's a great top tip. That's what I've been chucking on my face just before I go out for my little puppy walks.
And what about BB and CC creams? I'm so confused by those.
Oh, it's just, for me, obviously they were colour corrective creams. They were sold really for if you've got a redness to your skin or if your skin is dull, you can use like a little bit of violet or you can use a little bit of green. And the BB creams came, Sophie, again, check me if I'm wrong on this, but post-treatment beauty balms so that when you had a laser treatment, you could have a very soft veil of colour to neutralise the redness, but also have this lovely hydration. And then it just slipped into this kind of marketing fad. It's a tinted moisturiser. It's something that you can whack on your skin and it feels lovely. And I've got 2 at very different price points. I have to say, if you're a beauty addict on a budget, you cannot beat Beauty Pie. You can get yourself a membership, great Christmas present, birthday present, and get discounted price because they have really great formulators. They do a lovely luminescence mineral skin tint. Glides on like a dream, but enough coverage to make a difference. If you've got dry skin, there's another brand called You Beauty, the super tinted hydrator. Now that is just like liquid dewy velvet, which I know is a complete contradiction, but it just feels so luxury and gorgeous. And my skin's like, woof, I've gone back for that again and again. They also do a really beautiful eye cream.
Love this list. What about eyes? Let's say you're dealing with puffy eyes or dark circles or both. What are your go-to products or tricks?
Oh, I love a bit of cryotherapy. I take cryotherapy sticks in my kit if I'm got an early morning client and just literally to say, like, throw your head into these because the tightness and cooling aspect of the really lovely pods, you can get them on Amazon, just something cooling and lovely. Don't have to spend a fortune and just place your sockets, your eyeball sockets into that cooling, lovely metal. And that will help and make it feel better. The eye bags, it's a tricky situation because people want to use makeup to fix it. But if you have a slight swelling, you will never, ever get rid of the shadow because it's something that is causing, that's the shape of your face underneath your eye that is causing that swelling. You will have to remove that in order to get rid of the darkness. But you can improve it. There's a really great eye cream. It's IT Cosmetics is the under eye. It's called Bye Bye Under Eye Bags. It's got a little bit of caffeine in, which Sophie knows is a great stimulant. So it helps to shrink and tighten, even if it just feels the skin, but it's got a little bit of colour in too. So that is a great product. I was really impressed by that. What I say to people is that obviously use a colour corrector if you've got a darker skin. You'll need a peachy undertone to neutralise that darkness, okay? And how that helps is that it stops you having to use a real block of opaque concealer to cover it. So it just gives you an opportunity of a little bit less makeup than you would have to if you didn't use a colour corrector. So colour correctors are great if you've got a darker skin. If you're paler skinned, you need to use a solid opaque concealer because that will just block that area. But what I say to most people, if they're really getting fed up with their eyes and you can't afford to do anything else apart from use makeup, then a smoky eye is the best distraction. And you simply need even a soft, gorgeous Kohl pencil. Rimmel will do really soft ones that slip into the waterline and stay there. Just do a really lovely kind of inky line on your waterline with lots of great mascara. If you've prettied up your eyes and you make your eyes a focus, when you talk to someone, they'll look at your eyes because your eyes look lovely. But if you haven't bothered and you just look a little bit tired and your eyes are a bit puffy, you just think, oh God, my eyes are puffing, that's it. People will just look at your tired eyes. So making that difference and making that effort with a little bit of makeup, honestly, people do not look at the tiredness or the slight swelling under your eyes. They'll just be looking at your beautiful eyes. And that's a really important thing to think about. And to use makeup like that, because we obviously all look at the things that no one else sees.
Yeah.
And we have to change that in our head.
Yeah. Oh, love this. Thank you so much.
And staying on prep, what about spots? Because it's always everyone's worst nightmare to have a spot before a big event where they're having their makeup done.
Yes.
What concealers do you find do the trick? And do you apply the concealer before foundation or afterwards?
Always after. I would just do a nice, beautiful, soft, fresh finish. The glow that I want or the matte velvet, whatever finish I'm going for, I do that as a whole and keep it light and sheer. And then I will go and pinpoint conceal the areas that need that coverage. So you need a matte concealer. Now, Jones Road do some lovely face pencils and they are literally like a chubby pencil, but the consistency is really lovely and very solid. So you can just almost do like little dots with a pencil over your face. That's really great, I think. Then my loved product is a powder and it's a powder foundation. It's called a MAC Studio Fix. So it's really dense because you can't use anything sparkly or reflective. I remember when I used to work with some of the boy bands back in the day, they'd all have their YSL Touche Eclat and they'd be putting that all over their spots and be like, oh my God, it's actually reflecting them and drawing more attention to them than you think. So you have to use something matte. So I dab a little bit of cream opaque concealer over the area, either with a fine brush or a cotton bud. Make sure you wash your brushes, though, every time if you're using, you don't want to spread any bacteria. So cotton buds are quite good. And Muji do some really tight cotton buds that don't have any kind of like stray fine bits of the cotton bud. It's quite compact, so you don't end up with a furry face. And then use the MAC Studio Fix powder again with the same applicator. And it lasts forever. It is literally my go-to on myself. I use that the whole time. And if you've got a bigger area across the surface of your cheek or forehead, then just get a really gentle puff because you'll often find your skin is sore if you've got a lot of acne. So you can just literally press that powder in with a soft, gentle puff so it feels nice, but just avoid anything that is reflective.
Mm-hmm. Okay, foundation. I think this is the big one, isn't it? And I found that as I've got older, I'm a very similar age to you, Caroline, that less really is more, to the point that sometimes I just use a bit of concealer and I'm actually getting myself out of foundation altogether. So if I wanted something super sheer, but very glowy, where are you sending me? And what other foundations do you rate across various price points and also coverage? Because of course, some people want the full shebang, don't they?
Okay, so if I wanted something really soft and light, there is a beautiful product called Hydratint by an Irish makeup artist called Amy. And she created a very popular brand in lockdown called Sculpted by Amy. Has an SPF of 20, and that is really lovely. It's got slightly more coverage than the super tinted hydrator from U Beauty that I talked about, but it's really affordable and it's very nice and it's hugely popular. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to spend a bit more money, I would send you to Shiseido. The Japanese skin products are absolutely stunning, and Shiseido does an amazing collection of really versatile, adaptable formulations, which all of them are fantastic. They released Skin Glow, Revitalescent Skin Glow, I think it was last January, actually, and it was taken by storm on social media, yada, yada, yada. But it's very light, very nourishing, and gives you that glow. But then you want to go in with a punchy concealer, right? We'll come to those in a minute. If you want a more velvety finish and a more fuller coverage, there are two that I will recommend. One is Soft Glam Satin Foundation from e.l.f. It's a really beautiful, long-lasting coverage that will just give you that really polished effect. Like if I was doing some filming, I would go for something like this because it just erases all my imperfections quite quickly. And then I will just carry on and do a little bit of redness around my nose or eyes, etc. That's a really great and super affordable. And I think on my YouTube channel, I use the Pat McGrath Skin Fetish Foundation. Even I was impressed. I hadn't used it for a while. It's an incredible formula. It's very thin, but it's mighty. And the coverage is great. So that is my, like, oh, if I want the best skin ever, I'll pop up on a little bit of Pat McGrath.
I have to say, I love every Pat McGrath product I've tried. I absolutely love.
Yes, it's a great brand. It's pricey, but if you choose right, in terms of you get your colours right and you don't mess up and go, oh God, I've bought the same lipstick again. Go into the store and have a blast because they are really beautiful.
Yeah, and their eyeshadows, which is what I'm actually going to ask you about next, I just find the pigment in them is so dense and they just last and don't crease. They're just beautiful.
Yes, 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 yes.
So, eye makeup, mascara, eyeshadow, eyeliner.
Can I just add one concealer to that?
Oh, of course you can.
That everyone will need, right? I've just loved this concealer so much. It's by Maybelline. It's called Instant Eraser. I use zero. I tend to use the lightest concealer I can get my hands on. Obviously, I am pale skinned, but I always go for like two or three shades lighter than the foundation. But it's got a sponge on the end, and I literally just sponge the inner corner of my eyes. And it gives me such joy because I'm like, oh, fabulous. I look great. I look awake. And it lasts. And it's really good for older skin because it's light. But it's, again, a bit like the Pat McGrath. It covers well, but it doesn't dehydrate and it doesn't go cakey. It's a really great concealer and I've loved that.
Amazing. Thank you, Caroline. And mascara, eyeshadow, eyeliner, lips, blush.
My God, Sophie, have we got 10 hours? You're just so greedy for knowledge.
I love playing with makeup, but then when I find really amazing things, I'm so loyal to them because I love them so much. So actually, what I've always enjoyed, and every now and then you've brought me in amazing goodie bags of things that you think are going to suit me. Mm-hmm. And that broadens my horizons again and gets me playing with new things. And I love it. So yes, we're picking your brains.
Exactly. Because it's a financial risk as well. Because you can pick up 5 things and you're over £100.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, you don't want to make mistakes. So it does make you be timid. Like you think, oh, I'm going to go and buy this. And then you get to the counter and you're like, oh, do I really need it? But yes, I've got some great high street mascaras. I mean, I can talk for about half an hour about mascara. But if you want a mascara that extends and lengthens your lashes but does not smudge, again, go to Maybelline and get Sky High Lash Sensation. That has been my most used mascara of the year, because obviously I don't really want to have mascara falling down my face. And even some of my most loved mascaras, after about 6 weeks, you might find that they do dry out a little. And then you catch yourself in the mirror and you've got mascara down. This has been absolutely brilliant and it's like a tenner. Great. There's all sorts of mascaras. And again, if you really struggle with mascara seeping onto your skin, you want underneath your lower lashes, for instance, if you've always got smudging, then you should opt for the... Tubing mascaras. Thank you, Sophie. Tubing mascaras. And... you can get them from Beauty Pie. You can get them from Hourglass. Hourglass is a really beautiful one. The thing that I love about the Beauty Pie one is that it gives a little bit more volume. The tubing mascaras that first came out in Japan are absolutely perfect, used a lot on film sets because they're very delicate and they beautify the lashes, but just doesn't move unless you wash your face with warm water and it comes off. In fact, Sensei does a beautiful mascara called 38 degrees. It's called 38 degrees because that's the temperature of the water. And we use that a lot on red carpet because obviously you're terrified that anyone's got makeup down because obviously they go in so close to the face and that person may have not, you may not have seen your artist for an hour. So that makeup just literally can't move before they're photographed. So yeah, tubing mascaras are great if you find that you get a lot of smudging. If you want really wonderful full-on lashes, the Charlotte Tilbury Pillow Talk is absolutely fantastic. It's called push-up lashes. And part of the wand has no bristles. So you place the part of the wand that's got no bristles to the root of the lash, your lash. You can feel it a bit wet. Don't worry, it's not going to go into your eye. Just press there. And it's almost like creating a pyramid of mascara. So there's a huge amount of mascara at the root of the lashes. And then you drag the mascara up with a comb, twisting the brush slightly. And then the lashes have a delicate amount of mascara at the tips and lots at the base, giving you that lift and also a secret sort of line of definition over your top lash. So eyeshadows, if you like the Pat McGrath, the Anastasia Beverly Hills has a really lovely palette. They always do a set of 9 and they have the really beautiful metallics, but with the kind of mattes. That's what you need to look for. So if you're looking for a palette, go for something that will give you shape and depth and then the kind of jewel party effect on top, right? Because you always need to make sure that you keep the beauty in makeup, especially as we get older, we need the structure. So you want a nice bit of shape around your lash line, nice little bit at the socket, and then throw the colour on the inner corner, over the top of your lid or underneath, wherever your eye dictates and enjoys that colour most. Just make sure you have the balance so that you avoid looking like a sort of child's entertainer. Cream eyeshadows are fantastic. Kiko do amazing stick cream eyeshadows in an abundance of colours. The sort of metallic ones are great because they're like 3D and they help shape your eye. Because with a metallic colour, as the light hits your eye, you get that highlight over the top. And then as the darkness, as the shadow becomes dark within your socket, it goes darker. So it's doing all the work for you. So that's really great. Eyeliners, as I said, Rimmel do some really lovely ones, all the colours you want, the chocolate browns, the blacks, and they're really soft and lovely, as gorgeous as the Victoria Beckham ones, which have been in the press the whole time. But Victoria Beckham also does brilliant, and my favourite, waterline, a brightening pencil for the eye. There's only one, it's called Neutral. And you just paint it in the waterline of your eye to make your eyes look a bit brighter, especially if they're a bit pink. Just pop a little bit of an off-white pencil in your waterline and that will really brighten out your eyes. I love Lisa Eldridge lipsticks. I love Merit lipsticks. I also love Trish McAvoy. Now, Trish McAvoy has amazing sets and she is the most wonderful woman. I did a couple of podcasts with her in lockdown and I absolutely adore her products because they are especially beautiful for gifting and just beauty on the go. I don't know whether you've ever been to her counter in Liberties. It's definitely worth it. But her textures, her formulations and her packaging are, she's in her own league. That's what I will say. And I don't think she gets enough praise. She's absolutely brilliant. Also, Rev NYX do some really great buttermelt blushes. They come in quite a, your daughter will know these, I'm sure. And they come in some really lovely colours, like soft baby peaches for cheeks to some really deep kind of like raisin colours. They're really creamy, but they are literally just as good as any expensive one.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. How do people know where best to apply blush, because some people apply it on the apples of their cheeks and some people use it under their cheekbone as a, like a little definition trick. Some people use different products and do both, including adding bronzer. So I'm, again, quite confused. Can you give us a quick steer on how to create definition and shape to our face?
Yes, if you need definition. Obviously, if you're quite slight and you've got quite an angular face, you might want to add a little bit more fullness to the front of your face. So if you have a face that's very angular, adding the fullness is great to add that pop of colour underneath your pupils. So if you're looking in the mirror, and please never look down a mirror to do your makeup. Never do that to yourself. Always have your mirror slightly raised so your chin is slightly up so you see the best version of yourself putting the makeup on. That's key. The amount of time I see people just looking down into their mirrors, I'm like, God, first of all, you're not going to get a great application with like eight chins. And secondly, you want to look good and see how wonderful the makeup is. So look up into your mirror. Applying colour to the apples of your cheeks will give fullness to your face. But if you've got a round face, you don't want fullness, so you want more angles. So you can apply blusher to create an effect, whether it's like healthy, you want to use a nice bright, cool pink colour, which will emulate that blood under the skin. Or you want to add definition and shape to your face, so you want to go for a cooler toned colour, mimicking shadows in your face as if you were to have a little contour underneath the cheekbone if you've got a rounder face. So not only are you having to consider trends, then you want to say, look, what am I trying to create? Am I going for a fresh health look? But then also, what is my face shape? It is quite difficult. But once you've got it and you've played around with it, it's not so tricky. There must be an easier way for me to teach people to put makeup on. I'm thinking there should be a piece of software, an app for this. It's almost like a pie chart, isn't it? If you've got this, go left. If you've got that, go right. But yeah, there's so many variables.
You can invent it, yeah.
You've recently launched a gorgeous set of 12 makeup brushes as a collaboration with Otis Batterby.
Yep.
And these brushes, I've seen so much buzz on social media about them. Yeah, congratulations. It's so well deserved. Tell us more about how this came about, what you've put together, and where we can buy them.
So Otis contacted me in lockdown, funnily enough, and I started using some of his brushes. He said, I love your channel. When you've used my brushes, they do really well. Can I send you some more? So we started this relationship. He's got a really big company in America. Gwyneth Paltrow's used his brushes and put them on Goop and it went to storm. And he said, would you like to do a collaboration with me? And I thought, well, I just need to see what you've got first. I went through all his brushes and I thought, no, okay, fine. There's definitely something we could do that's maybe slightly different. And what I wanted to create and what I want to communicate with people is that I find a lot of the brushes that are available on the market, not all, obviously, there are some incredible brushes now compared to what it was when I was growing up. But I wanted to create a collection that was smaller, because my blusher brushes are probably like tiny little eyeshadow brushes. I use pigment and light over the face to create a painting. The makeup that I do is like a water painting because all the colours blend in. But if you learn where to place the darkness, the highlights and the colour to your face with the correct tools, it becomes so easy and you get that aha moment. Because when you're putting on blush with a big brush and you're trying to put it just on your cheek, and cheeks are pretty small. I mean, they really aren't that big. So once you've put the colour on and then you blend it, the colour pigment spreads quite easily. And what you're trying to do is create shape. So through the tutorials that I've done on my Instagram, and I've used them every single week on my YouTube channel, because I think that's what's wonderful. I have an amazing, I must say, capital S, amazing international group of women who just love makeup. I don't have any trolls. They are so lovely. And I use the brushes, which I think then helps them to apply their makeup. So they might not have the exact makeup that I have. And obviously, I'm trying to introduce new things. No one's got that budget to keep turning it over. But if you're using the right tools in the right way, then it will make such a difference to your makeup. And also, it's quite nice to have the brushes come in like a little pouch. And so people are now using their makeup in their makeup bag and having the pouch to the side. I know that's like another thing to take. But in that pouch, you can have your eye drops or eyelash curlers or tweezers or whatever. So your tools are in one little bit and then you've got your makeup bag. And the feedback on that has been wonderful. So I feel much more organised. Not everything's stuffed in one bag and the brushes are shoved against the blusher brush and they've gone, you know, everything's nice and neat and tidy. And they look really beautiful. And it's meant to just create that lovely, calming moment for that beautiful sage green and gold, just to kind of go, right, just going to do my makeup. This is a nice moment. Even if it's 3 minutes, it's still a nice moment.
Oh, And where can we buy them?
From Otis's site. So yeah, otisbatterby.com.
Sophie mentioned your YouTube channel. I've seen it. It's fab. And you've just mentioned it again. That's Feed Beauty, it's called. What are your most popular videos?
The most popular video, actually, it came through as like an end of year roundup, is facial cupping. So randomly, I bought this. I know. It's got thousands and thousands of views. And it was like a $3.99 set from Amazon.
How funny.
And they have loved it. Yeah. That's I don't know why. It's so funny whether something becomes a trend or whether it's an easy at-home treatment or people really loving lymph drainage. But a girlfriend of mine said, oh, I've got these. They're brilliant. You should do a film on it. I was like, oh, really? And I was like, okay, fine. I've got nothing to do this week. I'll do that. And that ended up being the best. So you never know what people like.
Thank you. We'll link into it in the show notes. Thank you.
So next up, we've got a few quick fire style questions. Mm-hmm. I know you've travelled a lot and professionally, especially when you were on the road with Kylie. Can you recommend us one spa, one hotel and one cafe, coffee shop or restaurant from your travels?
Okay. Spas are not so much. I'm really fussy about spas. I think I need to go. I have to skip the spas. I need to go to a new spa, I think.
I can give you those tips.
Yes. Okay. Go to Sophie for spas because she's going to be much better than me. I absolutely love Hotel Cost in Paris. To me, that is the most sexiest, gorgeously fragrant, yummy hotel with the best music ever. I love Hotel Cost in Paris. The cafe, Lisbon is a really beautiful city. I'm sure you've both been. It's amazing. There's a lovely cafe called Fabrica Donata, which does the best, obviously, little custard tarts, Portuguese style. And that is really delicious and a must go to. I'm going to say one which is quite random. It's called the Jungle Club. It's in Koh Samui in Thailand. And it sits on the top of this mountain. And it looks over the whole island. And it is just amazing and delicious food and cocktails. So you might have to travel a bit to get to those three, but yeah, they're my amazing tips.
Amazing, yeah. Who do you see for any alternative or complementary therapies, if anyone?
My girlfriend Elaine does some really incredible Reiki. So I have some Reiki with Elaine Stewart, and she's called Reiki Love Heals. And she is just one of those very special people. You just want to dive into and inhibit their soul just for an hour, see how calm and they feel. But actually, she's been through lots herself, which is why she's found herself in this place. But yeah, just the rebalancing and recalming is lovely.
Talk to us about altitude oil, because from what I've read, it's another one of your tricks to keep clients really calm.
It is a really wonderful blend. And actually, Annie DeMamiel is an incredible person and she's had a very interesting history. And she has learned so much. She was a doctor before, then she had cancer, then she trained in Chinese medicine. She's had such an incredible sort of learning life journey. And she also has wonderful energy. And she had, I think she also has a spa in the Ned, if I'm right, or she probably goes and does a couple of sessions there every month herself. And she owns DeMamiel, the brand. So these are her formulations. It's a brand she owns with her husband. And it is just one of those things, isn't it? It's just when I come into someone, they're probably just off a plane, they're a bit stressed, or it's like a really early morning. And it's just quite, because they have to sit, obviously, while I do their makeup. Sometimes, obviously, people don't. They're up and down, or you're just literally throwing makeup on their faces, hoping for the best. But it's just quite a nice thing to do. She formulated it because she was poorly and she was flying a lot to America, that she formulated it to prevent bacteria, to create this sort of shield around her. It's essential oils, so it is what it is. But she would put it on an aeroplane and feel protected. But I don't use it for that. I just use it because I just think it's the most beautiful blend that I've ever smelled. And I just love sharing it with my clients. Very good research, ladies.
We know you love it. What's your relationship like with sleep? And can you recommend anything sleep or bedtime related, whether that's bath oils and candles or pajamas or apps?
I mean, I've tried everything. I have a dreadful relationship with sleep. I always have had since I went on brownie camp and we were in the village hall and I went, is anyone awake? And nobody was. It's like a childhood trauma. And I get really panicky if I can't sleep. Mix that in with menopause. Oh my God. No, I've always had terrible sleep. My poor husband. But my new trick, and you don't tell me about magnesium oil tablet. I've done it all. And some magnesium, Sophie, I don't know whether you can tell me this. I took this magnesium glycolate in like a blue packet. And she sent me mad, like I'd taken some really? Like drugs or something. Yeah, it didn't calm me at all. It was had the opposite. I'll send you the packet, see whether you can give me any insight with your big brain. Anyway, so I've tried it all, but now I had a terrible back 4 or 5 months. I literally couldn't even walk. I'm now fine. When I can't sleep, I literally roll out of bed, put like a dressing gown on or something, and I just do some yoga stretches, downward dogs. It sounds ridiculous, but this is how bad it got for me. And I do 10 minutes of stretches, which I can do literally in my sleep. I love yoga. And that changes the energy in my body, as yoga does. But I just hadn't realised how wonderful. If I'm fidgeting and I can't do it, I don't want to turn my phone. I don't go on my phone. Don't read. Don't like bright lights. Just need to keep dark and keep calm. That, for me, has been life-changing. And I go straight back to sleep. That's better than anything I've ever tried. So I guess that is a top tip. And now I'm in a good place with sleeping. But obviously, I am on HRT. So that does help. But that's not because of HRT. It's not just because of that. It's as a whole, my God, it is a whole science, sleep, isn't it? But the best bath oil, to leave you on a really high note, is something called Olverum.
I love it.
Oh, my God. There is nothing else like, I don't like any of their other products. No, I don't like any of their other products. The bath oil literally takes me. That's why I haven't gone to a spa, Sophie, because it makes my whole bedroom and bathroom smell like a spa. It kind of ripples through the house. It's just wonderful and so decadent. So if you want a gift to yourself or to a loved one, that is the bath oil.
I'm so getting this. Sophie, we did an episode in December, Sophie's favourite things, and Sophie, you waxed lyrical about that.
Oh.
Yeah, great minds, Caroline.
Great minds, honey. That's how we've been friends for so long.
What are your top five supplements? I know you just touched on the bad experience with the magnesium, but I'm guessing you take other supplements.
Yeah, like most people, I'm trying and doing all sorts of things. The thing that always comes back to me, two things I always take, is Simprove. Absolutely love Simprove. And Altrient. So Simprove is probiotic. Sorry, it's a liquid probiotic that I just swig in the morning. Have you tried Simprove? Do you know about Simprove?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I've got quite a grumpy tummy. I just don't have a grumpy tummy anymore. I know they have to be very careful on what they can claim, but for me, Simprove was recommended to me by an actress. Absolutely brilliant. And I do think it boosts my immunity. That's my personal thing. I know it varies for everyone. Can't say it, can you? And also Altrient, liposomal vitamin C, which I think is really great at skin health and repair and immunity again. Those are the two things that I always have. And then I dabble. After my little fainting episode, which I talked about earlier, my friend said, right, I need to sort you out. You need to look after yourself. And she gave me the greens by Elle Macpherson. Is it called Wellco, I think? Wellco?
Yes, it is.
Something like that. And I have to say, it's been a while since I've taken something and I feel great. I feel great. I feel
amazing.
Great. Yeah. So I really think that's made a difference. Every day, just a little scoop of greens. What is it? Whatever she's done, Elle, you've nailed it for me and my friend. So yeah, I feel boosted. So I don't feel
it.
Yeah. So that is what I can 100% recommend. Because again, it's bloody pricey.
Yeah. Okay. So getting philosophical, what's something you believe in but can't prove?
I just believe in kindness. I believe in giving back. Not only helps the people that I'm taking care of, but also helps me. I don't know if I can prove it. I can't really prove it, but yeah. Mm. Yeah, just always giving back keeps me in check.
And besides family and friends, tell us about a woman who you admire.
Oh, gosh.
Tough questions at this stage.
Yeah, they really are. I've left these right till the end. I think as we speak right now, and obviously it changes, but Gisèle Pelicot is an incredible woman and probably didn't even know she had this utter inner strength and will literally go down in history. So she is one woman that I'm looking at and admiring and just fascinated at someone who can go through such horrendous, unimaginable experiences and still have the strength to do what she's done. So she's my girl right now. I don't know how much you've read of the story, but I went quite deep and it's just
harrowing.
It's unimaginable. It's like the film. It's like, how can that ever be happening to someone as you tuck yourself up to bed at night.
I did the same thing, Caroline. I knew the story and then I read the details in quite some depth yesterday on The Guardian and I just thought, oh my goodness me. So I'd second that choice.
And she says, shame must change sides, which I just think is so, when you think about it, you just think, God, why on earth have we ever felt shame about something like that? The shame is always with the person creating or inflicting such violence against someone. But the shame must change sides. So let's hope that she's able to do that because, it's quite a big thing to do.
Oh, yeah, great answer. Changing the tone slightly, can you recommend a podcast or a TV show? And also, do you ever hit Spotify when you're doing someone's makeup? And if so, who are you listening to?
Oh, yes. Bebel Gilberto, who is a French singer. And it is just really beaty, but relaxed. Yeah, I love putting her on. Literally, if I can't think about anything else, I will just put that on and just enjoy it. I've got like a playlist of songs that I've stolen from my kids or whatever that I just put on. But my music taste is quite eclectic. But yeah, that will be what I'll play. First thing in the morning as well. It's quite therapeutic.
Finally, what is the best piece of advice you've both given and received?
To be able to achieve happiness in balance is a successful life. Nothing else matters.
Completely agree with you.
And that is not easy, can I say? That is a very easy sentence to say, but to have a balanced day every hour, Sophie, that's a challenge. So just to go, I've had a really good day. Like, I've dealt with things in a way that I'm proud of. Nothing awful's happened and I'm grateful for so much. Gratitude is something that my mum taught me from a very young age. And for instance, all I'm grateful for is to have my family around the table. That is it. That is it. Nothing else matters. I just want my loved ones around me. Like most people, I guess, but it's just so important just to go, that's what's going to make me happy, not what I've got around the tree, not what someone else has been given or doing. Do you know what I mean? It's just the simplicity in life and loving that is just the key. And you know what? When you're sort of in your 20s and 30s, you're striving, aren't you? And you're just wanting to do the best. But actually, it's just really nice to be in a place where you just are in your own lane. And you're happy for everyone else to be successful. I think that's what I've found about having a freelance life, is that you're always sort of being slightly competitive and working super hard. Mm-hmm. But I'm just, when I got to that stage, I actually can't control who books me. I can't control what jobs I'm doing. I am just doing me. Everyone else is doing them. And be really happy for everyone else to be doing well. And it's just such a nice place to be. I'm literally not envious, jealous, anything, or competitive at all. I'm just happy for everyone. I want everyone to do well.
Yeah.
And that's nice. That feels
beautiful.
Good.
Yeah. Find out more about Caroline at carolinebarnes.co.uk and follow her on her socials at Caroline Barnes Makeup. I also want to add that Caroline is one of the nicest people in the business, and I love the fact that she's part of Look Good, Feel Better, giving her time and skills to help restore confidence and well-being to cancer patients, including online tutorials on the Look Good, Feel Better website. It's especially amazing for anyone going through chemo. Thank you so much, Caroline, for sharing so much today. It's been amazing having you on.
Oh, this has been a great girly chat, quite frankly, hasn't it?
And that ends this week's podcast. If you want to find out more about me and my work, or maybe book a consultation, head to drsophieschotter.com and you can find me on socials at drsophieschotter. And again, thank you so much for listening.